Session number 12678, Ernest Jones, Reel 4.
Mr. Jones, Reel 4. We're talking about your training at Priest Heath and a typical day during which we were also covering all the weapons training and things.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I'd like to ask you about is about bayonet drill or bayonet fighting.
Oh, did yes. You do training? Of course, yes. We had the usual sacks, you know, hanging and bayonet fighting, you know, long points, short points, and jab.
What did that mean, long points, short points,
well,
jab?
Well, you see, you were there with your rifle. Well, a long point would be that.
So you lunge forward with it?
Yes. Now, a short point, you'd have your rifle a little further back and a short one, you see? And the jab would be up like that, under the chin.
Up in towards the throat?
Yes. So we were taught long point, short point, and jab.
How did you practice that? How did you practice actual practice fighting with each other, with doing it, or was it you just...
Oh no, we were in like so many of us in a row, you see, and the instructor was in front.
Did they teach you how to use the butt?
Oh yes, now that come round, you know, like when you would when you come short with a short point and then bring up your butt, you see.
So you'd go towards like that, the throat and then swing round with the
you
right
see,
hand.
If you missed, you see, you come up with your butt and on the side dead, you see.
Now, what about this sack business? What would you do with them? The sack of straw or whatever?
Well, of course, we were standing there and we'd have a charge, you see, and then we'd got to pull the bayonet and put in, out, and run again, you see. And then another sack we put in there. Then we're on the floor, you see, and...
Were you meant to shout while you were doing it?
Oh yes, so you were told to shout as loud as you possibly could, you know, and frighten them to death.
What did you think of the bayonet? I mean, did you think it was you were going to be using the bayonet, or did you think...
Well, shortly after, you see, coming to when we came down to the 3rd Battalion now.
We'll come back to that then. So at the time, you just did your basic bayonet training at Priest Heath.
Yes.
Now, another thing, did you do any training at Priest Heath in the, it'd be the Mills bomb by then, the hand grenade?
We threw tins full of cement there. Now,
so you were just learning...
That's
how
right, how to throw them.
What throwing action did you use?
Well, you'd be like this, you see. You'd be in the trench, and you'd have your Mills bomb, you see, like this, and then you pull the pin, see, and...
You'd use a round arm action, like bowling a cricket
yes,
ball.
Yes, that's right, yes. Yes, like bowling a cricket ball.
So, but you don't. Would you actually have the trench you practice throwing out with this?
Pardon?
So you'd be in a trench practicing throwing
yes,
out of it with a can.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
We
weren't in the open. We were in a trench.
You didn't actually have any Mills bombs at the time.
No, no.
Did they teach you how the Mills bomb worked? I mean, did they, you know, the insides of it?
Not exactly. No, no, no. Then, of course.
Right, but later, perhaps they did. What about gas drill, gas masks, and going through a gas chamber?
Not there, no.
Right. Did you do any practice in digging trenches or preparing fortifications?
No.
What about tactical exercises? How to do an advance? That sort of thing.
No.
So
no.
None of that at prison.
No, it was more the drills and getting used to your rifle and firing your course.
What about machine guns? Did you come across
no,
that?
No, had nothing to do with machine guns.
Right, so it was... This
you
was
see, those were specialist jobs.
So, That's what you spent your 3 months doing. Now, we were talking, so in the morning, going back to the morning, after your breakfast, you'd go on to training. One of those things you'd be doing.
Yeah.
And then what time would you have dinner about, or lunch?
Well, about 1 o'clock, something like that. But
would you go back to your hut for your lunch?
You go to back to the hut, yes.
And what sort of food did
you
get for lunch?
Well, mostly stew.
What type of stew? Was it fresh meat stew or bully beef?
Oh, it would be mutton stew.
Not bully beef stew, then?
Not every day. Oh, no. Only there were certain days that we had, like a bully beef day.
What was the meat like, the fresh meat? Was it all right? Or
well,
was it rough cut?
I never saw it before it come.
What was it like to eat with the mutton stew?
Well, there was always plenty of fat floating on top. And I enjoyed it because I enjoyed my meals. I enjoyed it because I was getting regular meals a day.
So the fat didn't put you off at all?
No, no.
What would you get with your stew?
Nothing. There were vegetables in the stew.
So it was an all-in-one stew.
Ah, that's right. So you ladled out to you. You had the luck of the draw. Oh, no. If you had a good lump of meat, well, it just happened. If you didn't have much meat at all, it just happened.
So there was no separate potatoes?
Oh, no.
Now that would
no, no.
What else would you get at dinner, at lunch?
Oh, and then there was, you'd get some pudding, you know.
What would that be?
Well, it'd rather be biscuit pudding or... you might get a rice pudding sometimes, but not very often. And it was... or you'd get some plum duff.
And you got enough to eat?
Well...
You weren't hungry?
You see... They when the pudding used to come up, ever so many of the chaps they get from the table, they wouldn't have that.
Why not?
Well, they wouldn't have gone to eat that stuff. They'd been living before they come in the army. They'd lived. I mean, I'd been short. No, I like to say, all right, let them go. I'd have a second helping. Oh, yes, I enjoyed that. I didn't mind leaving the table and going.
So, after lunch, or dinner, whatever you call it, you do some more training in the afternoon, I presume?
Yes. Well, sometimes you'd have... you'd be marched up to... we used to go to the Long Wood, as they called it there.
What was that?
Well, there's woods on either side of the road there. It's different now to what it was in my day. And we used to go in, and if you'd got a good NCO, now, we had some, there was one or two, you know, that were really decent chaps. And they'd take us up the road, you know, and into the wood, and we'd be, all right, sit down, lads. We'd have a chat all round, you know, and all that, spend half an hour or so, and then all come out, and as if we'd been, and then we'd run back to camp as if we'd run never so many miles. Oh, and there was one or two, you know.
So
really
they weren't
good.
All bad, the instructors?
No. I tell you, the PT instructors were the worst. There was one we used to call Sergeant Bull. Oh, he was a thick neck chap, stubby, you know. Oh, good Lord, whatever he'd call you and what he'd do to you. Good Lord, he was a terror.
So after you'd spend the afternoon training, or if you were lucky, get the afternoon up.
Yes.
And then what would you get, a tea?
Yes, a tea. We'd have now then, we had bread and butter. I think there was some something with it, not bully beef and some other, you know, stuff that you can make a sandwich of.
But it was a cold tea.
Yes.
And would you get actual tea as well?
Oh, yes, you got your tea, yes, as well.
And then would you be off after tea? You wouldn't have any duties?
No, that's right. No, you wouldn't.
So what would you do in the evening yourself?
Well, then perhaps write letters or write home or and then go to the YMCA.
They had a canteen, didn't they?
Yes.
What was the canteen like?
Oh, YMCA was pretty good. You could go and have a cup of tea, you see, and a bun, and that my three and six used to last me each evening with a cup of tea and a bun. That was how I spent the money. That's all I'd got. I mean, a lot of chaps were having money from home, sent to them from home. Well, of course, I couldn't. I mean, there wasn't any money at home to come for me.
Were there, at the YMCA canteen, were there any games to play or things to do?
Yes, there was sometimes. When you could get there, but of course, there was a certain lot who's always got there first. You know, and how they manage it, I don't know, but they were always there first.
And what games would they be playing when you...
Well, there'd be billiards... And of course there was like dominoes and you know, one or two things you could sit down at the table and do. And
but you just have your wad and chart.
That's right, yes. But and of course I used to, I mean, being a bit on the religious side, well, I used to go into the meetings as they had, you see.
They actually had YMCA meetings.
In the evenings, yes. Yes. So, I mean, that's what I...
Did many men go?
Pardon?
Did many men go to the meetings? Did many men go to the meetings?
Not a lot, no. No. No, it wasn't... I don't think they were religiously minded, not the majority. No.
But there were a few of you.
But, of course, I'd been used to it, and it was... part of my life, you see.
What about what else would you do in the evening? You weren't interested in sports.
Oh, I'd write a letter, you see, writing letters home and to the girlfriend.
I had a girlfriend.
I had a girlfriend then, and I'd only known her for I hadn't known her more another 6 or 9 months. That's all. And anyhow. And she worked at a shop opposite me. There was a sweet shop opposite to my shop, and she was in this sweet shop, and I was across the road. See, and she stepped up, and I could see her between the sweet bottles, you know. And I used to get in trouble with the boss sometimes. Keep your mind on your work, now mind the girl.
So you wrote to her. Did she write back regularly at that stage?
Yes, oh yes, 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 we corresponded, yes.
What else would you do in the evening? Was there a local town? I'm not quite sure where Priest Heath is.
Well,
there's not much around there, is there, to go?
There's grain stores there now.
Was there any village or town to visit?
Eh?
Was there any village or town?
Oh yes, there was a cinema there, and all up the side of the road were stalls, you know, more or less little shops, like when all the troops were there.
And would you go to the cinema yourself?
I couldn't afford to go to the cinema, no.
Would you walk around the village?
Well, there was no village much to walk around.
Did you have any connections with the local civilians?
No. Oh, on a Sunday, one sergeant, as I knew fairly well, and he lived in Whitchurch, and he said, what do you do on Sunday? I said, I go to the YMCA. But mind you, I always used to love church parade. Oh, I love church parades.
What was a church parade like?
Oh, it was grand. You'd have your... suit on and your belt and sidearms with your bayonet, you know, hanging, you know, that. And the band, you know, and everything, and go to the YMCA and then march.
That's
back.
Where the church parade was held at,
yes,
the YMCA.
Yes. And march back again. And
You go with the C of E lot, or did you have a separate
C of E? I went then, yes. Yes. I Well, there was nothing much else, really, only Roman Catholic. So, that was the next best thing.
So you were saying your sergeant friend, who lived in Whitchurch, asked you what you were doing on Sunday.
That's right, on Sundays. And he said, do you know anybody here? And I said, no, no. And he said, I'll come and take you next Sunday. He said, there's a lady, a Mrs. Bacon. He said, and she's there. I think there's about three chaps going from here. He says, from the camp. They're to have tea there on Sunday. He says, now, I've asked her that, and she said she could do with a couple more. So he says, I'll take you down next Sunday. And that was, I used to go down, and Mrs. Bacon used to give us a nice tea, you know, and then we had a talk all round, you know, and that spent a part of the Sunday evening.
Now, just a few more points, you know, just general points, really, now about your time at Priestheath. What about kit inspections? What were they like? A full kit inspection. How would you prepare for a full kit inspection?
Well, you'd... you see, you'd got your two trestles and your bedboards and then your blankets. Of course, we had to fold our blankets up. We didn't have sheets or anything of that, you know. We just had blankets. And then they'd got to be folded in a different way and placed one on top of the other and the pillow on top of the top of the bed, you see. That had got to be there. And then you laid out your kit on your bed, you see. Because everything has got to be just... It was quite an art, you know. You'd got to... It took some getting used to, you know, how to put it out properly. Because they always had a stated way of doing it. And the officer would soon tell you that was wrong, you see. And your boots, if you got a spare pair of boots, they were going to be turned up so the soles and heels were showing that the studs were all right and everything of that and everything in order. It was quite an art.
Was there any stealing of kit?
Hmm?
Was there any stealing of kit amongst the...
Not that I remember much, no. No, they were a very decent lot of chaps. Because you remember, we were civilians. We weren't like the old army. You see, where they're thieves and robbers and vagabonds and all that. We were decent chaps together.
So there was no bullying, either. From
not between the us.
Just
we were bullied enough by the NCOs. So.
What about posting guard? Did you have a stick man? Do you know the stick man?
Oh yes, yes.
Did they run that system?
Now then.
Could you? I know it sounds funny, but could you explain?
Yes,
you
used to have that. Yes.
How did it work?
Well, I didn't. I did guards at Priestheath, but I wasn't up to the standard then. And so.
What do you mean you weren't up to the standard?
Well, I hadn't got the knack of doing things, but until I got the 3rd Battalion.
We'll talk about that then, and we'll defer that until then. I think that's probably right. Is there any... While you were there, which company were you in? I didn't ask that. Did you know which company you were in of the...
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And
no, what comes out? I was in... I think it was B Company.
But you're not sure?
I'm not absolutely certain.
Did you see much of your officers while you were training, or was it mainly...
No. No,
so you
no, only just when they were on parade.
Would you know your company commander?
Not really, no. No, you you didn't see them sufficiently to recognise who they were.
So
in fact, you'd have a job, when you go in like that, you couldn't recognise ranks because you didn't know what the ranks were.
You mean what the shoulder insignia meant?
I mean, if there was one pip, it's a second lieutenant. Two pips to the lieutenant, three pips to the captain, you see, and you go on like that. Well, I mean, that comes natural to you as you be in the army. But of course, I mean, it takes time, all that, things like that.
Now, just another point. When you'd gone into the army, how did you react to the sort of army life? What I mean is the sort of the way they lived, the lack being ordered about, the lack of privacy, the discipline. How did that affect you? I mean, what did you say? You know, did you feel homesick, that sort of thing?
I don't think the privacy affected me much. I don't think I thought that, but I'll tell you one thing that affected me more than anything was the way they talked about women.
In what way?
Oh, degrading.
You mean the ordinary soldier?
I'd got a mother and two sisters, and many a time when I heard these chaps talking about women, I thought, well, good laws. And my mother and two sisters are women, and they're talking like that about them.
In what way? I don't mean to fear to actually say
filthily, sexually, filthily. You know, but they didn't. I didn't know anything about that.
And this was while you were at Priest Heath. That came as a shock.
Yes, it did. Yes, I mean, I had two sisters, but I never knew a woman had periods till I went in the army. You know, things like that. I didn't know anything about women. But by Joe, I tell you what, I learned enough in the hard way when I got there. Oh, sometimes the way that they were talked about was terrible.
What about bad language? Was there a lot of bad language?
Oh, yes, yes. But I never swore. Never do now. I've never swore all my life.
It didn't affect you then? I mean, it didn't.
I didn't like it, but it was up to them. It didn't affect me.
Because a lot of men started off not swearing and then started to swear.
Oh, no.
Not you.
No, never all the way through the army and through my life.
Did it disgust you that they swore a lot?
Yes, especially what they used to come up with sometimes. Yes, although I got that used to it till I took no notice of it. It was up to them, not me.
Anything else? What about being told what to do all the time, the discipline? I mean, just...
Oh, that was natural. I didn't think anything about that at all. My mother had trained me all right. Gee, what my mother said you did. No. Discipline. I could manage the discipline all right.
Now, what about the regiment? Were you aware of what unit you were in? You know, the history of the regiment. Had they taught you about
it? Oh, no. No.
So even though you were from Shrewsbury, you weren't really Shropshire Light Infantry?
No, not really, no. Cares a lie, that was it.
They didn't try and teach you about the battle honours and things
No, we had nothing of that. Nothing, no history of the regiment or anything.
So nothing, did you know what brigade?
It was wartime, and you'd got to get on with, we were getting on with the war, we hadn't got time for other things.
What about, did you know which brigade and division the battalion
No,
was?
I didn't, no.
So you were just in the 9th Battalion care site?
That's all I knew, that's all I knew, yes.
Would you have minded if you'd been transferred out of the regiment into, say, the Durham Light Infantry or
I don't think I should have liked it.
Why not?
Well, because I'm a Shropshire man. Shropshire.
So you had you had an attachment to the Shropshire?
More or less,
but
yes.
But you didn't know much about it?
Yes, because as a child I used to go and watch them coming from church. You see, in peacetime, when they had the helmets and the spiked helmets and all the rest of it and everything... you know, when I was a youngster, we used to go up to my granny's. She lived in Frankwell. And it was my dad's mother. And she was a widow and lived up there. And we used to go to see her every Sunday morning. But, of course, we'd be there perhaps about half an hour. And then she'd say towards 12 o'clock, she'd say, "Now, come on, you children," she said, "you'll miss the soldiers if you don't go. You'll miss the soldiers if you don't go." Of course, we wanted to see the soldiers, but she was glad to get rid of us. And we'd have to go down to St. George's Church and stand outside, and they'd all come out and, you know, and drill up the side of the street, and the band would take them off, and that was quite a thing, see the soldiers.
So that was, but that was,
although I tell you one thing I saw, and that was before the war, and I saw a chap being frog marched up Frankwell.
What was that?
Now that was a terrible thing. And you see, he was a deserter, and they'd fetching him back, and he wouldn't walk, you see, or anything of that. So they handcuffed him and handcuffed his legs, put the handcuffs on his legs, ankles, and there was four soldiers, one under one arm here, one under other arm here, and one on each leg, and the sergeant with them, and they were carrying him, and by Jove, I tell you what, he went off crying for mercy to the position he was in. That was what they call frog marching. I only saw it once, but oh dear. Of course, that was before the war.
That's all right. It's interesting anyway. Just one last thing. Did you suffer from homesickness at all? Because you've not really been away from home before. I mean, did you feel lonely?
Not really. No, I don't. I can't remember that I ever had any terrible longing to go back home. No, I accepted things as they were. And I was glad of my three meals a day, and you know, we used to get supper at Preseat at night.
If what you was that?
Well, you'd take your basin to the cookhouse, and the cooks had made a stew up, you know, a supper, and you could have your basin of stew, see, and of course you'd come back and have it in the hut, and. One time I found a label and a string in mine. But I was glad enough it was something to eat. It was something to eat. And that was it.
Were a lot of the men older than you?
Pardon?
Were there a lot of the men older than you?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Quite a lot.
You've mentioned a lot of them were married. But some of them were 19-year-olds, like you were, or just about.
No, there wasn't many of us like that, no. No, there were more men between, I'll say, 25 and 35.
Now, how did they, at the end of 3 months, we're not quite sure when it comes, but what happened at the end of your training at Priestheath? How did it come to an end?
Well, we were all on parade, and we were told that the 9th Battalion was being disbanded, and we were being transferred to the 3rd Battalion, King Shropshire Light Infantry, at Pembroke.
That's the 3rd.
Pembroke Dock. Yes.
Did they say why you were being disbanded?
Oh, no, they didn't tell you why. You don't know. They don't tell you things like that.
So we can look that date up, because that date must have been recorded when the 9th Battalion was disbanded. And did the whole battalion go join the 3rd, or just a draft from it?
No, they didn't all go. I don't know what happened to the others. Didn't all go to the 3rd. You see, we were fully trained, you see. So that's why we went to the 3rd, because the 3rd Battalion was the feeding battalion for the other battalions. You see, we were sent there ready for draft.
And about how many of you went, do you reckon?
Oh. Roughly. There might have been 150 or
so. There'd be
200.
So, I mean, assuming there are about 800 in the battalion, there's about 600. You don't know what happened to them.
No, it wasn't a big battalion at all, the 9th.
So they could have just been sent out to another
yes,
unit.
Yes, yes. So where the others went, I don't know.
Do you remember the journey down to Pembroke Dock?
Yes, I remember stopping in Shrewsbury Station. We were marched to Whitchurch, got on the train, and we stopped at Shrewsbury Station for so long, and I looked. I stood outside there, outside the, while the train was standing, I was I got out and stood on the platform and was looking round and wondering if any of the family had come and see me or any other, but of course they wouldn't know. So anyhow, got back in the train and off I went back to down to Pembroke Dock. Got out of the train at Pembroke Dock and marched to the big camp there.